Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up, Sharks fans? It's a happy day in Sharks land. We got hockey back after 13 episodes of filler. We are finally on to episode 14. We have just witnessed live professional hockey for the first time since the beginning of this podcast. I'm Mike. This is Doug. We're talking about Sharks hockey. But, dude, you said you had an important piece of news to lead the show. So, you know, I'm going to hand the mic over to you and you can, I don't know what's this all about.
Well, I just thought it was important as we're kicking off the hockey season that we make the announcement that Clay Aiken did confirm today that he is gay.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yes. Excellent. Excellent news. That's
so, you know, Mike, I know this, it shouldn't affect your loyal
No,
CD
not.
Purchasing and how your iPod is arranged. But I just thought that we should do that. You know, next thing you're going to do, you're going to tell me that Eric Johnson blew out his knee.
Yeah.
I mean,
hate to break it to you. It was in a golf cart accident.
Wait, that really happened?
It unfortunately did. Oh, have fun, St. Louis Blues.
That is crazy.
Well,
The
question is, how does Clay Aiken's coming out of the closet really affect the Sharks cap figure? And we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. But first off, you have another announcement. Is that right?
I do. Okay. I do. To all our loyal listeners, we have created the Dudes on Hockey Fantasy Hockey League. That's right. Come and challenge Mike and Doug. Dudes on Hockey Fantasy League. We have started it through Yahoo Fantasy Sports, which is the fantasy hockey league that Mike and I usually play in. And we have created a league special for our listeners to take us on. The league number is 45644. And the password is Dan Boyle, all lowercase and all one word. So we would encourage you to come on in. I think we've got room, I think, for 14 teams. And we've got three in there right now. So sign up and take on Mike and I for a little fun fantasy hockey action. What do you think, Mike?
It's going to be awesome. Let the trash talking begin. And just to warn the listeners out there, Doug is a fan of making ridiculous trade requests. He'll say, hey, why don't you give me Chris Pronger and I'll give you RJ Umberger or something. You know, I'll give you like some crappy player.
Now,
you
know what? Listen, first of all, I would never want Chris Pronger.
Okay, that's true.
Because that guy's a turd.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And RJ Umberger, he's going to be okay this year.
He is going to be
okay. I'd make that deal.
Maybe that was a bad example.
That was a bad example.
But you've proposed some real stinkers.
Brad Staubitz for Chris Pronger.
Yeah. You've proposed some stuff like I would literally have to be like in a coma.
Now you're discouraging people.
No, I'm certainly
not. This is going to be fun.
I'm just warning our listeners. It's going to be a great league. It's always fun. Love doing the online draft. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing trades. We're going to be trash talking on the little message board thing they have for the fantasy league. And, you know, it's a great way to keep in touch with just the league as a whole. You follow a lot of players you don't normally follow. And that's why I love fantasy. So
that's right. We've got a live online draft Monday, October 6th, 7:30 Pacific time. So we hope to see you there.
So if you're on the East Coast, it's going to be a little later for you, but hopefully that'll be after work or school.
Suck
or
it up.
Whatever you're doing and just, you know, suck it up. You do the auto draft you can, but then we're going to smoke you.
That's right.
That's right. You're going to be get smoked in the draft. So
you're going to be like Semenov tonight. Just get left behind.
That's right. So let's talk about it. Teal and White went tonight. It was the first real hockey we've seen in months and months. And it was a very exciting thing.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a surprise.
You did. You had quite a shock.
I was stunned that my wife, who is a very talented singer and actress in the Bay Area, surprised me by singing the national anthem at the Sharks game tonight, and I had no clue whatsoever. And all of a sudden, they just announced her name, and out she walks out there. And I think probably on a scale of 1 to 10, I was about 12 on shocked.
Yeah, and everybody else was in the know. So she had emailed me earlier. She told me she was singing. The other guys we were with knew. We all just start cracking up because I saw Doug do a huge double take towards the ice, and she sang very, very well, I'd say.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
I was very proud.
Hope we're going to see her again later in the season.
Now she wants a new jersey just in case they ask her to do it again.
Very cool.
Hey, she's a big fan.
That's right. There you go. So, Teal and White, is it really worth talking about what exactly happened in the game? Probably not. It's mostly a chance for us to get a look at the players that we haven't seen in a while. Obviously, it was our first exposure to seeing Jeff Friesen again back on the ice.
He looks good. He looks trim.
He does look good. He does look thinner and trimmer than I remember him seeing, certainly when he played with Calgary.
Who else looked good to you tonight?
Oh, Dan Boyle.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, Dan Boyle. Oh.
Wow. Mike's got a love letter already. Like
it's penned. It's ready to go. It's in the editing stages. Oh.
He looked good.
He looks
and
great.
You know who looked good with him?
Is Christian Ehrhoff. Yeah, Christian Ehrhoff looked good as well.
He sure did.
And actually, my boy that I picked many shows ago, Steven Zaleski, I found out it's pronounced Zaleski, not Zaluski. Steven Zaleski looks good. And we have an email about, so we'll get to that in a moment, but let's continue with Teal and White. Yeah, Zaleski looked good.
You know what else looked good to me tonight? That Pavelski Chichu Mahalik line?
Mm.
That looked pretty good.
It did. They had some real chances tonight. So
they were the best line tonight.
It's really hard to measure, you know, how these guys are going to play together because, you know, it is such a different level of intensity than you'd see even in a preseason game, and certainly it'll step up again for the regular season and again for the postseason. But you just want to see, you know, what the guy's looking like, who's fast, who's not. You can't really judge how the team is going to be.
You got to love Chichu barking at the at the Teal and White referee. You know, this guy is probably, you know, selling insurance, you know, during the day. He probably gave Chichu an omelet yesterday, and now he's out there calling, you know, a hooking penalty on him. And he was barking at this guy.
I think he's going to be reffing my game on Sunday night, you know, so...
Classic.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. But, you know, it's good to see the intensity and the competitiveness that these guys show. You know, it's their job. They're making a lot of money to do that. And it's, you know, you can't really turn it off. I've seen it in practice. I've seen them practice, and they have that intensity still there. So these guys,
I could have swore one of the refs was John Ferguson Jr.
Hired as a scout, ex-GM of the Maple Leafs, John Ferguson Jr., for those that didn't know.
He put a mustache on. He's scouting. He's down there. He's scouting.
He's scouting. He's supposed to be a good scout. I don't really have much to say about that.
Don't let him anywhere near any contract.
That's what I have to say about that. You know, if you know, the scouting staff is usually pretty hidden from us as fans. And I guess, you know, we can always try to judge the drafts in future years. But it's gonna take a while to know if John Ferguson Jr. is a good scout, but that's what he did before he was the GM. We know he probably wasn't a very good GM. Let's hope he's a good scout.
Hey, keep it in the family. His dad was part of our organization for a long time.
That's right. That's absolutely true. So let's go to the emails, because actually I made the call last week and you have answered as listeners. I want to thank you all especially. We got a great group of emails this week. You guys came out of the woodwork. I hope it's due to my call. I hope it's not just due to the fact that hockey's getting closer, although that's probably part of it. And a lot of you had the same question or very similar question. So I'm going to read little tidbits here from multiple emails. But first of all, here's a new listener or fan or a listener we haven't heard from before, and that's Nick in San Francisco.
Hi, Nick.
What's up, Nick? Thanks for listening. Thanks for your email especially. So all other listeners that haven't emailed us, I hope you'll think of something interesting to say and then email us.
Even if it's not interesting.
Even if it's not interesting, we'll make it interesting for you. And Nick says, in news of Seto's broken leg, certainly not something I'm excited to hear. The word is he'll be out 8 weeks. However, I was wondering how far this goes to providing the Sharks with a temporary solution to their cap problem. Thanks for your insight and keep up the good work. Nick, first of all, I'm sure you meant to say Torrey Mitchell. He was, in fact, the one that broke his leg, not Devin Setoguchi. And that's true. Mitchell will be out 8 weeks. We have other emails to this, to this point. The cap issue is clearly the number one issue facing the Sharks right now. We have an email from John Swenson, who is the proprietor of sharkspage.com.
Great site.
It's a great site. It's actually definitely one of the sites that I read everything that they post. He said, so here's what John said. I said, I think durability issues have convinced the Sharks it would be better to move Kyle MacLaren than to chance the $2.5 million that he can complete a full season. And if it was at all economically feasible, playing MacLaren in a Roenick type reduced capacity and having him ready for the postseason would have a big impact. But you know, his question is, what are we going to do about the cap, and what are our favorites to fill out the final two roster spots, and how will the Mitchell's injury impact the salary cap situation? So that's two guys asking about that. Our buddy Scott has also asked about that. You know, so here's the situation with the cap. So I'm an amateur capologist. I'm glad you guys are emailing me cap questions. I hope this means that my stature as a cap nerd is finally, you know, reaching the masses, you know, so.
How you find time to do all that research between juggling pucks, I just don't know.
Okay, we'll talk about the juggling pucks again later in the show. But the fact is that having an injured player does not affect the salary cap at all. Actually, the player does count towards the cap. So Mitchell's contract does not give us any cap relief at all. If Mitchell was to be placed on long-term IR, which is something that happens when players are hurt for an extended period of time, and even the 8 weeks that Mitchell's out does not count, they probably will not place him on long-term IR. Even if they do, it's a slightly different situation. I don't want to get into that because it's kind of technical and boring, but the fact is that Mitchell's going to be out. They still have to pay him. His salary still counts against the cap. And so now we have to move on to the McLaren situation, because it's come out recently that, you know, McLaren did not participate in Teal and White tonight. McLaren has not been practicing with the team the last couple days. All signs point to the fact that McLaren will be moved imminently, probably by the end of the week. I think we need to sort of steel ourselves for the realization that McLaren very well could be waived, and that is just basically cut, essentially, is what that means. And unlike Matthew Schneider, his $2.5 million will come off the books. So if that happens, the Sharks will be down, or if they trade McLaren for picks or something like that, that would also release the $2.5 million, and the Sharks will be down to about $54.5 million, which is about $2 million under the cap. So as Scott said, you know, what would happen then? We have two guys in camp. We have Semenov and Pleahall that have come to terms, you know, according to Scott, but their salaries are officially not on the books. Mitchell is out. We have Friesen in camp. You know, what does this do to the salary cap situation? So the way it looks right now, there's 23 guys in the active roster. That means we would probably add two guys, a defenseman and a forward. Could be Semenov, maybe Friesen now instead of Pleahall. In my opinion, they'd probably be in the $500,000 to $600,000 range, which would put the Sharks about $1 million under the cap if those three things happen. So those two guys get signed. Well, if Pleahall gets signed and sent down to the minors, then his salary doesn't count against the cap. If Friesen gets signed and stays, he's probably going to get roughly the same amount of money as those other two guys. So we're talking about, if everything goes sort of the way I expect, we're talking $1 million under the cap. So dude, what do you think about that? $1 million under the cap start the season?
Yeah, I think that probably sounds about right. I have to agree with you that just based on gut feeling and kind of what we saw tonight, I mean, the best thing we saw to Pleahall was he ran into Greer. Yeah, he seemed to kind of clean his clock a little bit out there. It was the most physical contact we saw. Although Brad Staubitz was really flying around tonight. He mm-hmm. looks like a guy who wants to make the team.
He's really trying.
And maybe he's a possibility because he's a really small salary at, you know, I think under $500,000. I think he's $495,000.
Yeah, $475,000, which is the league minimum.
Yeah. I think Friesen is going to take Mitchell's spot. I think you're looking at a JR type situation from last year, $500,000, and good luck to you. And if you play well, then we'll reward you next year. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, you know, probably Frankenstein is going to be the seventh defenseman. And then you're right, you know. And if you keep a guy like Staubitz around, you know, as a practice player and a fill-in, you know, then you're mm-hmm. $500,000 under the cap, and you can always send him down, you know, without any, you know, real problems. But my other question too, Mike, is Brad Lukowich on this team?
He is. I mean, he's reportedly hurt, so he hasn't been practicing according to things. I mean, I saw an interview with him on the NHL TV site that was just put up recently. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be playing. As far as I know, you know, they're saying something really vague, like upper body soreness or something. I don't know what that means. You know, maybe he's got some weird injury, but you know, there's nothing.
I have to think that he's on the team. One, because yeah. I like his style of play. And two, for Dan Boyle, I mean, you trade him over with his friend and mm-hmm. then you're going to dump him. I don't think that Doug Wilson would do that. But I'm just asking you, you don't think this is also another like McLaren vagueness here?
No, I don't think so. Because, you know, McLaren's more money on the books. You know, Lukowich is under $2 million. So, you know, this idea, I wrote a blog post maybe a week or two ago about how the Sharks might be able to keep McLaren. I think now that Mitchell's hurt, there's no way that McLaren can be kept. There's
not
just,
a chance.
It's just, that's my opinion. Of course, something crazy could happen. Mm-hmm. I don't have no idea what that could be.
The fact that he's not even scrimmaging.
Right.
With the team. There's no way. He's not going to be on the team.
He's gone. So there's going to, there's other teams out there that might take a salary. The Sharks may even get some compensation for him, or they may just have to waive him. But I think we're definitely going to see that in the next few days because, we can't, the Sharks aren't going to want to, have, 20 guys on the active roster and only skate 18.
So I hope for Big Mac that it happens soon. And I hope if they're going to waive him that it's by the beginning of next week, so he has a chance to make someone else's team.
Yeah, there's teams out there that can use a guy like McLaren.
Sure, but then there's also guys floating around out there like Malik mm-hmm. who don't have jobs.
Right. Malik has a real bad tinge, though. I mean, he was booed in New York, and McLaren, I think, still has a lot of respect. I think people understand that he was injured, and people are obviously, that's going to be the first question on everybody's mind is this guy healthy enough to play? Can he play a full season? So that's the situation with McLaren. But I think, we have to unfortunately admit that McLaren has certainly played his last game with the Sharks. He's probably played his last practice with the Sharks, and he's likely going to be out of town imminently. So that answers your question, guys. And as for the 2-3 roster spots, I think it's going to be Semenov and probably Friesen. I think that's who we're looking at. And I do want to talk about John's blog because Sharks Page is great. I talked about it before. For those of you that are interested in minor league reports on the Sharks, in my opinion, it's second to none. Sharks Page is the best. They have a guy there. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Max Giacci, I think it might be. But he posts on the Worcester Sharks. If you're at all interested in these young guys that are coming up, I don't have a better source than Sharks Page. So I know their blog has crashed recently. I know their posts have been sort of few and far between lately. Hope you guys get that thing back up and running because it's a valuable resource for Sharks fans, John, and thanks for providing it. And hopefully someday when I have the technical capability to have guests, I hope you might grace us with your presence at some point, John. So thanks for your email. So I think, are there any more questions you have about the cap, dude? Because I've been really looking at this over the past week. I know this is a big question.
I don't think so. I think, the main question is, it's McLaren. It's obvious now that that's who it is. And based on the actions of the team, I mean, they're doing a real horrible job of of hiding the fact that it's him. I mean, it's him. They're not even trying to hide it.
No.
I wish, I mean, I guess out of just pure respect and tact, like Doug Wilson is having to sort of like deflect it. But, he's unfortunately, he's gone.
Yeah. So that's my gorilla math, Scott. Thanks for the Rounders reference. I hope that's what the gorilla math reference was. But that's my gorilla math in terms of the cap. Sharks are probably going to start the season with about $1 million underneath the cap. That gives them the ability to maybe sign one guy if somebody should go down, a minor league kind of guy. And they're going to be close. I mean, if the Sharks need to retool during the season, they're really going to have to shuffle a lot of assets around. They're not just going to be able to go out and get somebody like Brian Campbell and just say, hey, let's go get a guy. Let's go get Brian Campbell and trade some lower paid young kids or prospects because the Sharks just flat out won't be able to fit him in. So what we see right now is probably what we're going to get for most of the season, Sharks fans, unless we see some gigantic injuries or major changes. We see guys get sent down to the minors, something crazy like that. But it's interesting because it's going to be pretty stable. So we're going to know what we're going to be seeing most nights of the year. So it's exciting. It's exciting.
Amen.
So we do have an email from Ian. Ian, thanks for your email. Ian wanted to know what the hell is a dip and dot. It's actually dip in dot. Like
that's
dip,
right.
Like dipping.
Let me take this one, Mike.
Okay.
A Dippin' Dot is a delicious, nutritious, frozen ice cream treat. I want you to think of like a button on your shirt that you can eat. It's like frozen in different ice cream flavors. There's chocolate and vanilla for the boring. And then for real men, for real men, there's banana split. And then there are those who like to err on, live in their childhood. Often you'll see an 8-year-old girl get rainbow ice, and sometimes you'll see Mike get rainbow ice.
I just got it the one time. Yeah, that's but dip and dots, too many. It's basically very frozen ice cream, almost, and I mean, not to make it sound unappetizing, because it's really not there. It is quite delicious. It's almost like rabbit pellets. It's like rabbit pellets of ice cream. That's really what it is. They're tiny little frozen bits of ice cream that slowly melt over time, but you can chew them when you first get them. And it's quite a tasty treat, and it used to be right outside where our season tickets were. Now we've moved, so now we're going to have to...
I'll never have the chocolate dip and dots again.
I know. Well, we might hike it over there in one of the period breaks and get it. But thanks for that question.
I'm talking about because of the rabbit pellets.
Oh, the rabbit pellets? All right. If I can grocery out that easy. I never knew that. Okay, let's go to Ian's real question. He said, last year it seems our captain didn't really show his normal form until after the trade deadline and into the playoffs when he could no longer be traded. Is that a coincidence? An off year, the result of the line he played on? And now that his no trade is in place, do you expect a career year or at least back to his normal form this coming season? And who would you put him on a line with and see him return to normal form? And are you happy that Marlowe is still on this team? My thoughts are that he was worried about being traded too much, but how can you fail with the lineup we have this coming season? And he's looking forward to our thoughts. So I'll let you field this one. I'll weigh in at the end. What do you think about... So first of all, let's go first of all. First of all, you know, a lot of trade rumors surrounding Marlowe last year. Are you disappointed that he wasn't traded?
No.
Okay.
I think unless the Sharks could have gotten better because of it, and I think that they tried to trade him? Yeah, I think they did. I think that they were looking. I think that they were exploring different options, and you know, Doug Wilson didn't see anything out there that was going to make this a better team. So having Marlowe on the team, are we the better for it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the prospects of seeing a top line of Marlowe, Joe Thornton, and Ryan Clough is very exciting. And I think he's going to have a great year this year. I think he could really thrive under McClellan, kind of opening up the ice for those players. And I think, you know, sometimes you don't have good chemistry with the coach, and a lot was said about his relationship with Ron Wilson. I think that there's other players, like maybe we talked a little bit about tonight, Mike, that Marcel Gotch looked like he had a little extra jump in his step tonight.
And, he certainly did.
Maybe we're going to see a resurgence from those two players, you know, Gotch maybe on more of a minor level, that because they're the handcuffs have been taken off them a little bit, maybe mentally and through style of play, that under McClellan, it might get better. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think actually the coaching did have quite a lot to do with it, to be honest. The rumors were there, unmistakable. He didn't get along with Ron Wilson. You know, should that affect how you play? No, it shouldn't. Does it affect how you play? Of course. Of course it does. You know, I mean, you know, you see guys like Alex Tanguay, he gets basically run out of town because he was under Mike Keenan and he was trying to play a role or was asked to play a role that didn't really suit his talents very much. It suited Mike Keenan's ego maybe, or it suited what, you know, Mike Keenan's vision for the team, and it didn't suit what Alex Tanguay was doing. So they traded him. He went to Montreal. I think Alex Tanguay is going to do much better this season than last. And I think we could see the exact same thing with Marlowe. Marlowe was maybe asked to play in a role or in a system that he didn't quite agree with. Maybe he didn't think that, or, you know, he just got down on it and he just didn't really buy in the way you probably should. The way that McClellan has been talking to the media over the past week, I mean, how can you not be excited about this guy? He talks about moving the puck all the time. He talks about shots getting through from the point. He talks about movement. He talks about speed through the middle. He talks about attacking the center of the ice. I mean, these are all the same kinds of things that this team should be doing with the skill that we have. And Marlowe is the perfect person to do that. I think we could see a huge resurgence from Marlowe this year. It could be great. I mean, he could be, you know, everybody says, oh, he's a great second line player. He could be a great first line player. I mean, yeah, this guy could be a great first line player in the NHL. There's no question about
and
it.
And this isn't a combination like that. I don't think we're going to see if McClellan wants to go Clough, Marlowe, Thornton, we're not going to see it for two games and have it get scratched. Mm-hmm. He's going to go with it for a good long stretch to see if these guys can develop some chemistry. And might it take time? Yeah, it might take a little time. Is it worth the wait? Absolutely.
If those guys click, I mean, who can, you got a huge guy in Clough who can stand in front of the net. You got two guys that can move the puck and shoot the puck in Marlowe and Thornton. It's going to be something great to watch.
Could be really dominant.
I'm looking forward to watching it. So let's move on to the last segment of the show, which is to continue our season preview. We only have 2 weeks left before the start of the season, actually. This week, we're going to be doing the Central Division, which actually, in my opinion, is the most boring division to predict. So we may not spend as much time this week as we do in other weeks. Next week, we'll be doing the Northwest Division, which will be a pretty rough and tumble, interesting division. And then, of course, we'll finish with the Pacific, where the Sharks are, and we'll be giving our predictions for the division that us as Sharks fans are going to be watching the most of all, for certain. And we open with a division game against the Ducks on opening night, October 9th. So let's talk about the Central Division. So again, we'll do, you know, alphabetical by place. So we'll start with Chicago, which is probably the most interesting team of this division. So what do you think about Chicago? They've added, you know, Brian Campbell, who was, you know, with the Sharks, and Campbell signed a long deal for a lot of money with Chicago, but Chicago's got a lot of young kids, and they seem to have, as we've beaten to death in previous shows, they've got a goalie problem in Chicago.
They've got a goalie sideshow right now, mm-hmm. and it could be a major distraction for this young team, a problem that I don't really understand why they've let it linger as long as they did. I don't really totally understand the moves that they've made. Yeah, you don't bring in Huey if you're going to keep Javi Bulin. He's there on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's going to be gone when, we don't know. The longer they hang on to him, the more confusing it could be. I don't really understand that. I guess Robert Lang was not happy there from what I've heard. You know, I think they talked about on NHL Live yesterday with EJ Raddick was talking about how Lang didn't really fit into the youth movement there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the thing is, you can't just go all youth because you need to have a little bit of a balance, don't
sure.
you think?
Sure. And his vacancy on the second line, I look at their lineup, I'm not sure who's going to center the second line there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've got a great blue line, some really good young talent. They have no salary cap flexibility, just like we do. So are they going to be fun to watch? Absolutely. I don't know if this is going to be their year to make a major step, but they're a playoff team.
I agree with that. You know, this could be a very volatile team. They have a lot of young kids. They have young kids up front. They have young kids on the blue line. You know, if they stumble a little bit, and rumors are already out there that Denis Savard may be on his way out, they're bringing in Joel Quenneville allegedly as a consultant. Scotty Bowman was brought over there. They could have a coaching issue. They already have a goaltending issue. This is a team that could be shaken by some problems either in the front office or, you know, in between the pipes. And this team could really stumble. But my pick, I think they could be a playoff team. I think they could be a playoff team because they just got too much talent. They have too many young kids that are just going to be great to watch. I'm certainly not going to miss a Chicago game if I get a chance.
No, future is bright there for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to Columbus. Columbus had a huge amount of turnover this year. They brought in a ton of guys. RJ Umberger, Fedor Tuten. They traded guys away. They traded Jaredev and Gilbert Brulé away. Ron Hainsey left via free agency. You know, they drafted Phil Letoff, who might make the team. They got Rafi Torres and Christian Eusebius. I mean, they had, you know, they finally got a guy, and now it, I heard is that Derek Brassard, who is a very young kid, might be centering the top line with Rick Nash.
Huh.
So they made all these moves. They didn't get a top line center, obviously, for Rick Nash, which seemed to be their biggest move, their biggest need. So, you know, the question is Columbus going up or down at this point?
I think they're going up. I think they've improved. I think that, you know, adding the one that doesn't make any sense to me is Huselius. I don't see how he fits into a Ken Hitchcock team. I think he struggled with Keenan. He's going to struggle with Hitchcock. Like, you know, mm-hmm. how is he going to fulfill those defensive responsibilities? But this is a team. They don't have a puck mover. They don't have a number one center. And, you know, is this a landing spot for Schneider, Mike? Maybe. This seems like a decent fit, at least short term.
It's possible. It's possible. It seems like Schneider could fit a lot of different places, but, you know.
Good goalie there. I like LeClair a lot.
Sure, absolutely.
If he's healthy, if Filatov turns out to be something real special, if Umberger steps up and can center that top line or Brassard, you know, Columbus will be, they're going to play hard. You know they're going to play hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be definitely not circled on team schedules as an easy game anymore.
They could surprise people. You know, in a way, I think all these moves is a little bit like they're thrashing around, you know. They thrashed around and they didn't really, you know, change anything, you know. They thrashed around, they added all these guys, they shipped all these guys out, they still didn't get a number one center, they still don't have a puck mover. It's like, what are they doing?
They're moving spare parts.
It's like they're moving people around just to move people around, so.
I think they are a better team than they were last year.
Okay. Okay, I might agree with that. Okay, let's talk about Detroit. Actually, let's not talk about Detroit because there's not much to say about Detroit.
Same team, same story.
The Stanley Cup champion, they got even better by getting Marian Hossa.
Brad Stewart for a whole year.
You know, I don't want to, you know, let's not torture ourselves. They're going to win the stupid division. So let's stop talking about Detroit. Nashville. Okay. Yeah, Nashville is at least according Wake up. Shh. Dude, hello.
What's up?
you know, they lost some guys. Radja lost in Russia. They lost Chris Mason, lost Darcy Horacek, lost Marek Zidlicki. You know, they're going nowhere. I mean, Columbus is thrashing around going nowhere. Nashville's just going down, as far as I'm concerned.
Columbus passed them, as far as I'm concerned. Nashville, you know, losing Radulov is devastating mm-hmm. to the organization philosophically, and then also for the fan base. And their blue line is good.
Yes, it is.
They probably should.
Quite good.
Well, they probably should trade one of those guys to try and get some young scoring in there, because I don't know who's going to score goals for this team. Steve Sullivan?
JP Dumont and Jason Arnott.
You love Steve Sullivan.
No, I don't. He's my fantasy like nemesis.
Oh, my back.
Oh, okay, so Nashville, they might be at the bottom. At the bottom, I think we might both agree, is St. Louis. They lost in the news Eric Johnson. We talked about it earlier in the show. Eric Johnson is a good number one overall pick. Killed his ACL in a golf cart, which is pretty pathetic. That's almost as bad as Jeff Kent falling off the back of his truck. But, you know, they got a lot of good rookies. They didn't make a lot of moves. They got Chris Mason as... So they may have some sort
whatever.
So they have like an interesting tandem with Manny Legacy and Chris Mason.
I can't remember. I wish I had the hockey news in front of me, but I think Chris Mason got pulled from his starts the most out of any goalie last year.
That's clearly why Nashville went with Dan Ellis. I mean, that's clearly why.
So why do you trade for? I mean,
because Manny Legacy
isn't, he signed for two more years. Chris Mason sucks.
Yeah. So St. Louis is going to suck. Let's just put it out there. St. Louis is going to suck. They got a lot of good young guys. None of them are going to be good enough to make that team anywhere other than probably near the last in the NHL. So I'll go back to front. St. Louis clearly last in my view. Nashville's fourth. They haven't gained anything. Columbus, they're jumping ahead of Nashville, but they're not going to make the playoffs. Chicago's number two, but that's a big question mark. Detroit, by default, number one, it's not even going to be close. They're gonna win the division by 20 points.
Agreed. Yeah.
So boring preview. Sorry, Sharks fans, but it'll get more interesting next week.
I will say one thing, that I think Columbus will be in the mix at the end for a playoff spot. They're not going to make it, but I think that they're going to be, they will play hard enough, and there are going to be other teams that are going to take a little bit of a slip that, you know, Columbus is not going to be embarrassing.
And if Nashville and St. Louis are both as bad as we say, then that's a lot of free points for Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to help Chicago, too.
Well, that's the end of this week's podcast. We have, you know, new games to watch this week. We have preseason games.
That's right.
So we can talk about that next week. And
don't forget about the Fantasy Hockey League.
Yes.
Yahoo. Check it out. Hockey ID number 45644. Password is Dan Boyle, all lowercase, all one word. And see you there.
I'll be posting it on our blog, which is at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. So check that out too. Thanks for listening again. We'll be talking to you again next week, same time, same place.
Hey, Mike, can you find my Clay Aiken CD? I want to take a bath.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.